I'm going to pass these out real quick, and I may not have enough. You do that for me? Just do one per family, okay. And okay. If we have to look on, we'll have to look on a little bit. It is good to have babies in church. I don't care whether they cry or whether they do them. It doesn't make any difference. It's good to have them. All right. What they're passing out is just a little bit of business we're going to kind of talk about a little more in depth this morning in Sunday school, and then we'll kind of get into our, hopefully get in and finish our little Sunday school lesson we started on last week. But what it is a proposal. We are looking at redoing the website a little bit and trying to get all that back situated. Some stuff had happened to it, and it didn't look quite the same. And so we're going to change some stuff in the website. And if you look at the first page there, this is what is on the website now as far as the church goals, ministries, and what we believe currently on the website. If you don't have a copy of it, we can get you a copy of it, and we'll get more copies of it for the people who come in a little bit later. But if you look at the goals and you look at the ministries and you look at what we believe, there is nothing wrong with what is written right there, okay? I want you to understand that. There's nothing wrong with what is there. So that is not the problem. I've read through it. I think it was a good idea. It was a good way to keep things a little more concise and things like that. But I do think there is a better way to do that. And the main reason why I personally want to change it is because I truly believe in letting Scripture explain what you talk about. Okay, I want the Scripture to explain what we believe. So when we say we believe salvation, I want to put in there what salvation is, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I want that to be there. I want somebody to be able to see it. When you go to the next page over, and it talks about the proposal for the new website, it has our purpose and our mission. If you just go down to the first one, I'm not going to go through all of them. I'll let you read all this stuff on your own time. But like the first one, just love God. We want to love God. This begins in the heart with a personal relationship with Jesus. The love grows as we gather together in worship and to hear the teaching and preaching of the Bible. Our love of God should be the motive, behind our service. And then you go to Mark 12 and verse 30, and it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." You see, the Scripture takes care of what we just said. Before, it's not that it was written bad. It just didn't have any Scripture to back up what we just said. So from now on, when we do stuff like this, I want to make sure that we put the Scripture in the place. And if you go on to the next few pages and we get into the what we believe part, I'm not going to write out all the Scriptures like I did in the mission statements, but if you get down into the what we believe part of the section, it has salvation, the Bible, the Godhead, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ. You see that the Scriptures are still there. We're not going to write all those Scriptures out because that would make it kind of lengthy, okay? But I did put the references there. If somebody makes it to your church and they sit there and say, "I want to know what this church believes," and they want to go to the website and look at it, they ought to be able to sit there and go, "Man, that's what they believe. And man, they got Scripture to back it up." And if they've made it that far, they'll probably look at the Scriptures. And I think that's a good thing to do. I think it's a good way to make sure everybody understands exactly what we believe. I've been in the position to have to look for churches many times, many, many times. When traveling and we were moving around to North Carolina and Gadsden and all this kind of stuff, and you had to look for a church. And I remember going on website after website after website just trying to figure out what people believed. And it's so, I don't want to be mean in a way, but it's so just washed out, just kind of dumbed down. It's like they wanted to put the least amount of possible in the website. To the point that when you read it, you have no idea what they think. They say, "We believe the Bible." That's cool. Most churches believe the Bible, right? But it doesn't say anything about it being the King James Bible or anything else. It just says the Bible. So then you don't know. But if you look at the statement now, we sit there and say we believe the Bible. And I like the fact that in the old one it did say the King James Bible, but this one we clarify it even farther. We take the Word of God and say that, hey, it was preserved. It's the perfect, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and we break it all down with Scripture. So I'm making a proposal that we change some of that stuff in the website so that we can clarify some stuff for people. I don't want there to be anybody walking the door and that has looked at our website and not understand what we believe. I don't want to give anybody any kind of false thing about our church, okay? I don't want to give them any kind of false ideas about what we think and what we believe. When you walk in the door, if you've looked at our website, you should be able to have a good idea of what you're walking into. A very good, clear idea of what you're walking into. And I know there's some people that they don't ever look at the website. It doesn't apply to those people, okay? But we can also say, hey, if you would like to know more about our church, you can go to our website and you can read all of this stuff. You see, now we have the ability to be able to do that. Maybe you're talking to somebody who's not saved and they get to that part of salvation and it breaks it all down. They start reading the Scriptures. They might get saved. You say, well, that may not, it's just a website. Yeah, but it's our responsibility, right? We give the gospel in every way that we can, even when it comes to the website. I want to be, everything we do, it needs to be done decently and in order. And it needs to be backed up with Scripture. So that's the whole proposal behind this. And I want you to do me a favor. Take the thing home, okay? Take it home. I want you to read it. And I want you to read it more than one time because you get it better when you read it more than one time, okay? Because it took me quite a while to put it all together. So I'd at least like you to take the decency to read it a couple of times and actually look at it. Look at the Scriptures. You know, take the time to open up the Bible and look at the Scriptures, how they compare to what we're saying. Okay? Look at all those things. And I will say this. Bless you. That's what I'm talking about. I'll say this. You look at the Scriptures and compare them. I know we could put 1,000 Scriptures in there, okay? We really could. Those are the Scriptures that I thought fit the best, that were concise, that got our point across, okay? So I understand. You'll think of 100 Scriptures you could put in there for this. So kind of, you got to have a little bit of give and take in there. We can't just put 1,000 things in there, because if that was the case, we'd just put the Bible in there and just leave it alone. Just put the whole thing in there and let them read that. But it's not going to work that way. So we have to kind of dwindle it down somehow. And that's how we're going to do it. So I want you to look at it. I want you to read it. I want you to think about it. We're going to wait 2 weeks. 2 weeks, okay? And then we're going to vote on it. So we'll vote on it. Most people should be back from things that they got going on and stuff like that. So we'll vote on it in 2 weeks. So you have 2 weeks to read it. If you need a copy of it, we'll get you a copy made. I'm going to get Brother Randy to type it up, put it on Facebook so you can read it there if you'd like to. And so you'll have all that. Anybody that's coming in later on today, I'll explain it probably a little less involved than this, but I'm just going to basically tell them they need to read through this. So they can read through that. They can study it. They can figure out what they like about it. And in 2 weeks, we're going to vote on whether or not we should put this in the new website. If you have any concerns about it, anything that you read that you sit back and you go, I don't really agree with that. I don't like it. Here's a good thing that helped me out, okay? Call me or text me and talk to me about it, all right? That way I won't, no letters. If you write me a letter without your name on it, I throw it in the trash, okay? Amen. I'm done with that garbage. Just gonna throw that out here on Sunday school morning while we're talking about letters, all right? What is wrong with you? If it didn't have your name on it, no, sir, I didn't. I think it got thrown in the trash, too. No, I'm done with all that. So don't write me no letters. Call me or text me your concerns, and I will definitely be able to look at that. I'd rather it be that way than me to get here in 2 weeks, and I got 50,000 questions about everything going on. That way I can kind of break it down a little bit at a time, figure out if we do need to change it, or I can explain myself better if you don't completely understand what I've written down or how I've written it and all that kind of stuff. And as far as if anything is not grammatically correct, okay, that is not me. That has got something to do with you and Miss Paige, and y'all can fix all that when we get ready to put it on the website, all right? So I don't need to hear anybody's comments about all that, all right? I figured you probably would. I'm going to let all y'all handle that part. So I don't need to hear about those, okay? We can fix all that when we get ready to put it on the website, all right? Thank you. So, but I do want you to do that for me. I want you to kind of look through that. I want you to get an idea of what we want to do with that. And I think it'll be a good thing for the church going forward. And I think it'll help us. I think it will make our church a little bit better. And that's what we want to do, right? If anything we can do to make it better, let's do it. You know, if we can do something just as small as changing a little bit of stuff on the website, and it makes it more biblically minded, more clearer for everybody to understand what we believe and what we think, I think we should do those things. If there's anything we see like that, we need to start getting ready to change it. There's a lot of things that we can do, and a lot of things we'll probably do in the future. We've got constitutions and bylaws and all this stuff, and we got to go through all of that, okay? And that stuff's a long process, and it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of people looking at stuff. And those things are going to come in the future. We're not going to worry about them right this present minute, but we're going to get to all that. This is just one of those steps we can take right now to fix something that wasn't bad, but we can fix it to make it a little better. So I'd appreciate you taking the time to look at that. All right, let's get back into our Sunday school lesson this morning. Our Sunday school lesson, talking about renewing your mind. How many of you did the little exercise this week? One of you, that's amen, hallelujah. I'm glad one of you did. How did you feel when you got done doing it, Brother Tim? Kind of weird, wasn't it? When you go a whole day or you go that morning and you wake up and you don't read the Word of God, it throw you off. But when you throw it in there and you actually do read it in the morning, it changes your view on the day, right? Kind of gets you a little more energized with the things. It keeps your mind set right, which is the whole goal here. We want your mindset to change. I know a lot of you go to work early and a lot of things like that, but that's not an excuse. Because that's exactly what you're making is an excuse. I'd rather you go to bed 30 minutes earlier and go to bed earlier and then get up earlier. That's kind of how that works. You can adjust your time if you want to put God in there. And like I said, I'm not telling you to sit down and take the Word of God and open it up and just get into some in-depth study. I'm just talking about reading it. Just read a little bit and pray. That's all I'm telling you to do. If you want to change your mindset every single day, read one chapter and pray. Just one chapter and pray. You ain't got to do all your daily Bible reading. Some of you go through the whole thing where you read through the Bible through a year. How many is going to try to do that this year? Yeah, and most of you should. If you don't, try it. Trust me. You can find apps for it, and they're fantastic to follow. You can find you whatever kind of program you want to follow with that. If you don't know one and you'd like one, I'll find you one, okay, if you'll just read it. And there's a lot of different things out there. You can read it through twice in a year, once in a year. You can read, you know, parts of it multiple times in the year. And it's really cool. You can do all sorts of stuff. Anything you can think of, you can do it that way. And there's all sorts of apps and people that have designed certain things for you to follow. Those things are good. But you can just read one chapter every morning, and then you can read the rest of your Bible reading whenever you have the time to do it. But start it off with the things of God. Start it off changing your mindset so that when you go into the world, because that's what you're doing, you're going into the world, you're going into their mindset, you're going into work, and you're going to deal with whatever they've got going on. You see, then it'll change your mindset and keep your mindset where it should be, which is on the things of God. So when the bad stuff does come up, it ain't so bad. It ain't so bad. I think it'll help you in knowing how to change the way that you think and how you look at certain situations. Because something really bad could come up at work and, man, things could be falling apart or at home or whatever's going on, your finance, whatever it is. And I think if you start off with your mindset on God, He's going to sit there and say, hey, have you thought about this? Hey, have you looked at this? Maybe He'll bring a scripture up back to your mind. It's amazing. I think about my son. He's in school right now, and he goes to Victory Baptist in Millbrook. And I remember 4 and 5 year old being a little kid in school, and I remember We used to do Bible verses with the letters. That's how they did it. That's how they teach you the letters. They do the Bible verses with the letters. And Walker's going through all that now, and it's amazing how he'll sit there and be like, I learned this one. You know, see, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's so cool to me. Because, and what's really cool is, those are the same things that I think about today. At 35, I still think about what I learned when I was 4 and 5. I remember all those verses Miss Quates taught me. I remember all those verses we went through time after time, and I can remember just sitting in a situation going, I don't know how to handle this, and God's like, hey, how about that? You ever thought about that? Bring that verse back to your mind. And I think those things are good, and if you hide the Word of God in your heart, guess what? It'll change your heart. It'll change how you view things. But you have to be willing to hide it in your heart. He tells us to hide it in your heart, right? That means you've got to actually start memorizing it. Some people say, well, I can't memorize nothing. But yet you can tell me everything about a movie there is to tell about it. Or you can tell me everything about turkey hunting, or everything about deer hunting, everything about the new gun you want, but yet you say you can't memorize anything? No, we can memorize what we want to. And you say, well, I'm too old. You know what? It may take you a little longer than it takes Walker. I get that. Man, the kids just absorb stuff. And the older you get, it ain't quite that easy anymore. But I'm here to tell you. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm sorry. That was funny. Walker can remember things that I can't even remember. And it's just amazing how they can retain all that knowledge and all that stuff. But yet, when you get older, it gets a little more difficult. When you get a little more mature and all that good stuff, it gets a little more difficult to remember all those things. But guess what? That just means you've got to work a little harder at it, right? It's still worth it. It's still worth it. Take your Bibles and turn over to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. We looked at these few scriptures right at the end of class or Sunday school last week. I say class. It's kind of a class. With a really bad teacher. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we talked about how sometimes we put our adversary as our spouses and as our bosses and as our situations that we're in. And we talked about that a little bit. And we went on to 1 Peter 5 and 8, and it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then we went on, and I told you this statement, and this is kind of where I left off. It said, you are not who others say you are who he says you are. And man, I thought about that this week. Everybody's going to tell you who you should be. But that really doesn't matter. It's all about what God wants you to be. Quit worrying about everybody else's thoughts on you, because they don't matter. It's what God wants you, what God expects of you. If you want to be closer to God, guess what? You have to put God first in your life. But the problem is, we don't put him first anymore, we put him over here. Put him second, third, fourth, fifth, wherever you put him in your life. And if you really want to be honest with yourself, that's exactly what you do. We have a tendency to do it because we have a beautiful wife, right? She's number one. God becomes number two. And you have beautiful kids, and God becomes number three and number four. And you get grandkids and 5 and 6. And before you know it, he's so far down the line, you don't even know where he's at anymore. He doesn't even matter anymore. He's always supposed to be number one. I'll tell you this, if you want this to be right, he's got to be number one. If you want to raise your kids right, which is difficult, by the way, amen, y'all, some of y'all been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? It's difficult. Y'all are right in the middle of it with us. It's hard. But if you want to know how to raise your kids right, he's got to be number one. He has to be the center of the whole family. If you want to raise your grandkids right and you want to help grow them in the things of God, he's got to be number one, not them. He's always got to be number one. Not your job, not how much money you can make, not how many things you can have. It's got to be God. All the time. Every single day. It's got to be God. I heard this story and I wrote it down. And I thought it was really, really cool how this kind of played out. How many people have heard of Houdini? Yeah, escape artist, right? Did a lot of cool stuff magic-wise and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, they said Houdini came into town to do a show. He often went to the local jail gathering a crowd of people along the way to get a buzz going about his upcoming performance. He asked the jailer to lock him in a cell. Time after time, jail after jail, town after town, Houdini escaped within minutes. But one jailer had heard that Houdini was coming, and the jailer was ready. When Houdini closed the cell door, the jailer put the key in the lock and secretly turned it in the wrong direction. He then removed the key, and everyone watched as Houdini struggled to escape by unknowingly locking himself in repeatedly. Finally, in frustration, Houdini admitted he could not escape. The jailer then revealed his deception. Houdini had believed a lie, and the lie had held him in captivity. Living your life by a lie is a lot like believing the door is locked when it isn't. On the other side is freedom, but you have to commit to removing the lie and replace it with truth. Think about that, man. One of the greatest escape artists that's ever lived. And something as simple as getting out of a door. But the jailer tricked him. The jailer just left it open. To the point that Houdini was sat there and fought with it all afternoon, trying to get it right, trying to fix it, trying to get out. That's exactly how you live your life. You see, what ends up happening is this. You get saved, and you got to get that right first, okay? You got to get saved first. To have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you got to know who He is. He's got to know who you are. So you have to get saved. That's the first thing. And when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, once that's settled, then you're trying to grow in the things of God, right? Trying to grow, you're trying to get better, you're trying to be a better Christian, you're trying to be a better person. But the problem is those lies come up in your life and they start telling you you can't do something. Why? Because the adversary is the devil and he wants to destroy your testimony. I told you last week, it isn't the lost person that he's after, it's the saved person that he's after. He's more concerned with destroying you because he's already got them. They're already dying and going to hell. He doesn't have to do anything to them. But if he can destroy you, guess what you won't do? You won't witness to anybody. And you'll believe those lies, and what you'll try to do is get out of it. And what you'll do is you'll sit there and you'll try to pick a lock that's already unlocked. God done come by and He said, you know what? There. You gonna do something for me or not? All you gotta do is walk through the door. You ain't gotta unlock it. Just walk through it. Most of the time I think it's even more obvious than that. Most of the time I think He unlocks it and then He opens it. And I think we sit there and we walk up to the door and go, bam! I can't get out, God! I can't do this anymore! Why can't we do the things of God anymore? It's because you don't want to. Truth. You got to replace the lie, right? If you want to change your mind, you got to replace the lie with truth. You have to accept at some point in time that, hey, I don't have all this figured out. There's things that me and my wife go through just like everybody else. Did you know that me and my wife fight? Amen. I know, it's a pastor. It shocks you, doesn't it? We don't fight nearly as much as Brother Randy and Miss Christy do, but we fight a good bit. But if we have times where we put God first and we put the things of God first and we try to actually look at Scripture and try to make it work with the things of God, then guess what? Those fights are a whole lot less, or they get over a lot quicker. Amen. So if Brother Randy would quit picking on his wife about playing basketball, he'd be a whole lot better off. Just let her play basketball. If she wants to get hurt, let her get hurt. I'm not going to say anything. You do you, okay? But no, you sit there and you think about all this stuff and the lies that you tell yourself. It's just like locking that door that's already unlocked for you. All he wants you to do is just walk through it. He wants you to remove the lie. Quit telling yourself you can't do something. I can't teach Sunday school. Why can't you? Because you don't know enough about the Word of God, right? That's your next statement. Because I don't know enough about the Word of God. Whose fault is that? It ain't God's. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, right? So if you'd study it, I figure you could probably teach a Sunday school class. Amen? You sit back and say, well, I can't witness to somebody. Why can't you? Because I'm an introvert. So am I. What's your excuse? I'm the biggest introvert you'll ever meet. You ever notice that I can preach and I can get up here and I can sing and I can do all that stuff, but as we dwindle through the service and we get done with the service, I have a tendency to go, okay, whew, need me a minute. I'll let you do most of the talking. Why? It's not because I don't want to talk to you. It's not because I don't want to be personable. It's just my personality. I'd rather just sit there and listen instead of having to do all the talking. I'd rather you carry the conversation. Because I'm an introvert. But God's given me a job to do. Guess what? If He gives you a job to do, He'll equip you to do it, right? He said, you know what, Chip? Here, the door is unlocked. If you don't walk through it, I'll let you preach. Okay, God. I'll walk through the door. Now, I'm going to say it didn't work quite like that. It was a little slower. There's a lot more hesitation in there. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? But when I got through the door, guess what? He said, I'll calm your nerves when you got to preach. I'll calm your nerves when you got to get up there and sing. I'll do that for you. Why? Because I called you to do it. He called every single one of you that have accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, to be a witness for Him, to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. He's called every single one of you. I want to kind of go through this little thing, Brother Randy, if you'll pass these out for me. I'm making you work for your paycheck this week. Pass those out. This is where we're going to get into a little more discussion, and we're going to try to hurry through it so we can finish up. We won't talk about all of them. We'll just kind of hit some high notes. I got this out of that book that I was telling you that I was reading, and I thought it was pretty good. And he had about 20 questions per defense and offense, and I've only got 5, okay? I dwindled it way down for you. This week, I would like you to kind of look through it, though. I would like you to kind of be honest with yourself and actually write the stuff down. It says, write down your honest answers. When you're done, compare your defense and offense. This evaluation will help you see your thoughts and work on real change. The defense is protection from the enemy, and the offense is growth towards God. Most of you got a copy? Some of you got a copy? Amen. I'll send emails to everybody next time. Good. All right. You have the first one here. The first one says, are my thoughts tearing me down? How many of you deal with that? Amen. How do you deal with it? Got any insight? Bringing it to God's how you deal with it. But what does your thoughts tell you a lot of times? How do they tear you down? You know, this stuff goes online. They wear you out, don't they? It's hard to fix stupid. I like that. That's the That's the human side of you, right? Think about that. What he says is he killed the students and all that good stuff. They don't want to listen. He doesn't really mean that, but they don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. Think about the preachers. It's the same concept as the preachers deal with. It's the same things that the Sunday school teachers over there are dealing with them youngins right now. They don't want to listen. Not you, brother, never. Just Brother Scott most of the time. No. It's the mindset. When you get up here and you've studied and you tried so hard and you give something from the Word of God and it's just like, oh. And you feel like a failure. Now, how many of you have been there? In your daily walk and in your life and even in your spiritual walk now. You ever got to that point where you're sitting there going, man, I really tried to witness to that person, but just nothing. Feel like you're running into the same wall over and over. Just trying to get through, and it's like, nah. They won't listen to you, and it'll get you agitated. It'll bring you way down. It'll bring you down to the point you'll stop, right? So you go down to the offensive side. Are my thoughts building me up? Now, surely somebody's had a moment where you've actually let your thoughts build you up, right? Maybe it was when you were closer to God. Yeah. How many of you had those times where, and I'm not saying you're there right now and all that, but how many of you had those times where you just really felt like, I am close to God right now? How many of you had those moments? Raise your hand. I mean, you got alone with Him, you've been praying, you've been asking Him, and man, He is just blessing you, and blessing you, and blessing you, and helping you, and comforting you. Those moments, man, are good. It makes things like these bad thoughts just, they just go away. Man, it's not that they're not there, but they consume the bad, right? Isn't that how you change your mindset? You have to let the good overcome the bad. Amen. The second one. Do I think worried thoughts? If you ain't got one, I got a good one for this one. I'm the biggest hypochondriac on the man. Ask her. I was singing with the anchorman. And I got really bad sick, okay? I mean, just cold, snot, everything. I don't know if you can say snot, but I do. So you go through, I mean, it's just sick. And when you sing professionally, guess what you do when you're sick? You sing sick. You just sing sick. It doesn't matter. You don't get a choice. And I got sick earlier that week, so I went and got some medicine and got me some steroids and got me good antibiotics and all that good stuff, and we trucked on to Georgia. And I'm sitting there and I'm going to Georgia and I'm sick. And finally Sunday, I could sing again. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody was glad. They wouldn't have to sing my solos anymore. And I remember Carl was a tenor singer. He steps up and sings, "There is a river." "There is a river" was my ticket to get some drink of water. So I turned around, got my drink of water, and I did like this, and I rubbed the side of my neck, and there was a knot right there. And I thought I was dying right there. Everything in my being thought, God's taking me right now. Like, I got cancer and he's fixing to kill me, like, in the next hour. And man, I remember calling Leslie. Just I was done. And my thoughts had kind of ran that way. And I told her, she's like, "It's nothing. You just go to the doctor." I think he's taking me out. I remember going back to the doctor and them saying it was a calcified lymph node. I didn't believe them the first time. That's a lie. They done looked at it. Doctors done looked at it. I said, no, it's got to be something worse than that. It can't just be a calcified lymph node. There's no way. I've done looked it up on WebMD. Old Dr. Google done told me I was dying. Like, I was determined. This is it. This is the end. I got 6 months left. But I'm a hypochondriac like that. I can let my mind get really worried about situations. I can let my mind just wander. Sit there and I have a problem in my chest that tightens up. I remember thinking I was going to have a heart attack about 50 times. My chest tightens up, and it's because my back pulls really bad. I got to go to a chiropractor and get him to loosen it up, open my chest back out. But I remember every time it'd just be like, it's the big one. I'm Sanford and Son over here. I mean, I'm coming to see you and all that good stuff. But you can let your mind wander to the point that you just can't get a hold of things. When in reality, we should be thinking peaceful thoughts. God's always in control, right? What if it was a heart attack? God's still God. What if it was cancer? God got that too, right? What if you had 6 months to live? Wouldn't you like to be close enough to God to be able to sit there and go, I'm going to make the best out of this 6 months? Think about Kevin dealing with all the things he's dealt with, and I know y'all have been through it. You sit back and you go through these things, see all these people that have dealt with certain things like that, and sometimes you just have to sit there and go, here, God, you can have it. I ain't never dealt with it yet, but I'm sure it's coming one day. I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know what it'll be, but I'm sure I'll have to deal with it one day. I'm hoping that I can get my mind set right so that I can actually deal with it properly when it gets there. Think about, you said 8, 9 people passed away. I know 68 is demolished. It's a mile from my house. I mean, it's gone. Like, it looks awful. 1 mile from my house. You talking about scared? Boy, I was scared. Not for me, but for my kids and my wife that were at home. If something bad had happened, how would I have dealt with it? Am I close enough to God to be able to sit there and say, you're in control? I'm not saying you don't grieve, and I'm not saying you don't have a time where you sit back and go, this hurts. But I'm talking about, do you sit back and say, but God's still in control? See, that's why I want to change my mindset. That's why I want to renew my mind daily. That's why I want things to change. I want you to look at these over the next week. And next week when we come back together, maybe we'll talk about the next few of them if y'all have anything you want to add to that. But write them kind of down, just kind of look at them over the week, and maybe we can come back and discuss it a little bit more next week. I hope that you've gotten something out of the service. And again, make sure that you're reading the proposal, and we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, and we'll get that situated. Brother Thomas, close us in a word of prayer, please.